Last week I talked about from the manger to the cross. This whole month we're talking about the journey to the cross. Significant points in Jesus' life that pointed to his mission. Jesus came to die. He was sent here on a mission to give his life for the world. So we talked about the manger and how that was the first part of his mission. Today I want to take a look at three events that began his earthly ministry. That's the next stop on this journey. Let me give those three events to you, and then we're going to talk about them. Jesus got baptized. In the 11 o'clock service, we are going to have a water baptism, baptizing two candidates. It's going to be exciting. The second part is Jesus fought temptation. And the third thing, Jesus began to share the good news. Let's jump right into this. Number one, Jesus got baptized. And I'm going to turn that into action points for us. Get baptized. Yes. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Let us pray. Father, bless the word. And I know your word is blessed, but bless us as we listen to it today, and may we be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to commend all of you, first of all, for being here bright and early on daylight savings. You did great. Give yourselves a hand. I mean, normally right now it's 8:37, but we are at 9:37. You braved, you set your alarm, or your phone did all the work for you. One of the two. Very good. So we see here that Jesus got baptized. He did not need to get baptized in the same sense we do, because we proclaim that Jesus forgives us of our sins. Jesus did not sin. Jesus was sinless, but don't you love it that we have a God who gave us the example and did the same thing he wants us to do? Yes. I mean, he lived his life just like we do, so we can know how to live. Jesus saw his baptism as validating and advancing God's work. Yes. He was also showing support for what John was doing and teaching. And he was beginning his public ministry, giving us an example to follow. If Jesus got baptized, you and I should get baptized. Yes. If you have not got baptized, I encourage you, get baptized. Here's a tip. If you love Jesus and you haven't got baptized, go home after service, get your clothes, change your clothes, and we'll baptize you in the second service. I mean, it was that quick in the Bible times. They would get saved, and then they would baptize them right away. There was not this long years of wait. It was immediate. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, and they were baptized that day. So I encourage you, just like our testimony that we have, one of our young men that is getting baptized today, he was here during the service. I talked to you about him. It's the young man that's from Iran. He was at service. He went home and says, I got to go back and give my life to Jesus. He came back, gave his life to Jesus. That was 3 weeks ago. We're baptizing him today. Someone say amen. So I encourage you, if that's you, we want to baptize you. The water, I promise, will not kill you. We have the heater on. Last time we had it was too hot. I don't know if you remember, it was too hot. It had got too hot, and we had a little girl we were baptizing, and she said, "It's too hot, it's too hot." I don't know if you remember that, but we have all kinds of interesting stories about baptism. But the Trinity shows up here in this story. God the Father spoke from the heavens. God the Son was baptized, and God the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. We can have that same today. Not necessarily hearing God speak, but the Father approves of the baptism. The Holy Spirit is in our services, and Jesus says where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. So what Jesus did, we can do. I have baptized many people over the years. You do that when you've been in ministry for 30 years. And I believe in dunking the person completely. Not partially, but completely. And it's a symbol of all of us are saved. It's a symbol that I believe that God wants to save every hair of my head to the toes of my feet. You know what I'm saying? So I remember one time when I was first brand new youth pastor, I helped lead this one lady to the Lord, and she wanted me to baptize her. Now, that was unusual back then. I was like, okay, all right. So I got in the baptismal tank, and as I was bringing her down, and I was about to bring her up, I realized I didn't get all of her head completely dunked. And I believe in the whole body. And you know, sometimes people just float and they don't sink because you gotta, you know, kind of push them. So as I'm bringing her up, I'm like, this ain't gonna be good enough. So she's about to gasp for breath and I dunk her back. And she about choked. And we had a good laugh after a while. But I will try not to do that today. But baptism, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I'm very serious. If you've not been baptized and you want to, you want to make a public proclamation of your faith in Christ, let me know. Go get your clothes and we'll baptize you in the second service. Someone say amen. 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 The second thing that Jesus did was he fought temptation. Fought temptation. Matthew chapter 4, we continue. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Help us, Lord, to live more on your words than upon food." Help us to live, we'd be healthier that way too, amen? Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands. So you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan." Everybody just say that with me. "Get out of here, Satan." One more time. "Get out of here, Satan." Jesus told him, "For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. You will be tempted. Put that in your heart, your mind, your soul. You will fall into temptation, or temptation will come on you. But you don't have to give in to temptation. I've heard people say, "I sin every day. We just can't get away from sin." I don't believe you have to fall into that. I don't believe you have to live submission to sin. I believe that Jesus said we are overcomers. Amen. Amen. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean we can saintly have a halo over our head. I mean, amen. Do you see anybody's halos on heads around you? Point at your wife and say, "Only you, baby." Just kidding, just kidding. Now, Satan is mad when we give our lives to Jesus. When we make a decision to follow Jesus, it's like stirring up a hornet's nest. He will come at you with temptations. He will come at you with all kinds of things. I've heard Christians say, "It was easier when I was a sinner because I was just flowing with the devil." And once you choose to walk upstream, then you get attacks many times. Well, I'm telling you what, don't go by easy. Go by the peace and the comfort of the joy of the Lord. Satan tempted Jesus with an offer. "You're hungry? Turn these stones into bread." Just give in to the flesh. Give in to what's comfort. Give in to the ease. I'm going to tell you something. This doesn't sound like that big a deal, but Jesus was not going to end his suffering because of the devil. This was a small suffering. If Satan could get him to listen to this, then Jesus would listen in the Garden of Gethsemane when Satan was trying to tempt him from going to the cross. You see, sometimes it starts with the small things in our lives. It starts with, "Oh, just do this one little thing. Oh, this is not such a big deal." But let me tell you what, we have got to submit even in the small things. The second temptation: Satan wanted Jesus to make a spectacle of himself and show the world how awesome he himself was, and also to test the relationship with the Father. Jesus was not about glorifying himself. The third temptation, Satan appealed to greed and desires. "I will give you all the riches in the world." Each temptation, though, what did Jesus use to defeat Satan? The Word of God. I want to tell you this. Each time the enemy comes at you, you quote Scripture to him and you throw Scripture back in Satan's face. Can I hear an amen? When you are tempted to have fear and anxiety, quote Philippians 4, 6 through 7. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." You take those verses and you claim it and you say, "God, I'm believing for a heart filled with peace, and you will help me in Jesus' name." When you are faced with lust or greed or temptation to do wrong, find some scriptures in your mind and spirit that help you declare God's righteousness over the situation. Yes. This gives you a strategic spiritual plan. James 4, 7 through 8 says, "So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will what?" Flee. He will what? Flee from you. "Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." When I was younger, in JBQ and teen Bible quiz, I would memorize a ton of scripture. And I want to tell you, this scripture helped me go to sleep at night. There were times I was afraid of the dark. I'm going to admit that. I don't know why, but I was afraid of the dark, of the monsters, of the Incredible Hulk. I was afraid of all kinds of things coming in my room. And I would have to quote scripture so I could go to sleep. And the Lord helped me use that scripture to bring peace. If you never heard my Incredible Hulk story, I'm not going to share it now, but it is weird. Okay. Thank you. The third thing that Jesus did, he began to share the good news. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 21. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Amen. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the pamphlet, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. I love this part. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. He said, I am fulfilling this scripture. Jesus was modeling for us about sharing the good news. You shouldn't wait till you've been saved for a year before you share the good news. You should immediately begin to share the good news. Amen? Jesus began to declare the word of God. He began to teach and preach. Notice he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's a testimony from one of you, from one of the folks from our church. This is written. I will share it anonymously. Well, today one of my teammates was talking about how her husband has a bulge on his stomach and they are worried because his brother has abdomen cancer. She said today was the ultrasound and she and her husband were a nervous wreck. She was telling us this during our lunch break today. So I felt a stirring in my spirit and decided to be bold. Remember, I've been encouraging you to pray with people on the spot. With the teammates that were in the room, I asked, would you like me to pray with you? She said, yes, actually I would. I've been very worried about it all day. Then I replied, okay, let's do it. My other teammates in the room said, okay. So we bowed our heads and began to pray for peace for her and her husband and for God to take care of the entire situation. As we finished the prayer saying, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. We all look up and another teammate was standing there looking at us. She asked, what's going on? So my teammate that wanted prayer told her, and I said, I'm sorry if you were uncomfortable. We were praying in private, meaning the kids were all at lunch. She replied, I'm down with Jesus. I just didn't know what was going on. In which we all laughed and proceeded to finish lunch. My teammate's husband will know in 3 to 5 business days, but they have peace that it will be okay. In the moment. Isn't that awesome? Praying for people in the moment. Jesus began to seize the opportunities. Yesterday, I had the privilege of shooting basketball competitions with the seniors of Tallahassee. All the folks that are over 50. So, Mr. Renda, you do got it right for Freedom Saints, 50 and over. And so I had a great time. I won it last year, and I won again yesterday. But while I was there, There was a guy who said, man, I can barely stand for 5 minutes. He was in the competition. He had a great looking shot. He was a little bit older. He said, but my back, I just can't stand for 5 minutes. So I thought I would listen to my own preaching and say, could I take this opportunity? So I said, hey, Mike, would you mind if I prayed for you? And he looked at me like, what? And I just put my hand on his back, and I just prayed healing in the name of Jesus. I can't say there was lightning, can't say there was thunder, but you know what? It touched his heart. And you never know what in that moment. I just pray that God would touch him in that moment. Amen? Two mics that have back issues. God bless you. Shortly after this, Jesus began healing people, casting out demons, and then calling his first disciples. So we see all of these things, his baptism, fighting temptation, sharing the good news, that Jesus began his journey to the cross in his earthly ministry. In case you haven't noticed, in this week and last week, I'm building a case for Jesus as the Savior of the world. I want you to know, I want those listening online, I want those that are still checking out this Jesus from a distance, you're kind of wondering, as we get closer and closer to the cross, I want you to see that he gave his life for you and I. Yeah. Just to give you a heads up, since you will not be here in the second service unless you come back and get baptized, I had lunch with the young man that's getting baptized. I had lunch with him this week. And he told me that everything in his life has changed. And I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, I'm a very calculating, thoughtful person. Everything I do has consequences, and I agree. Everything, I make it very, very distinct decisions. And he said, everything in my life, from being a Muslim growing up for 27 years, has completely changed. The peace of God that I feel. And that testimony, you're going to have to watch it online if you can. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus is still changing lives. Amen. Jesus is still touching lives. And I believe that your life can still be touched. Even as a Christian for so many years, Jesus can still give you new life, new hope, new peace. He can still bring healing to those around you. And what's really cool is now you become partners with Jesus. Yes. Now you don't just pray and ask him for salvation and all of those things which are important. But now he says, I give you a mission and you go out and you're partners with Jesus. And now when you see people that need prayer, whether it's in your home or whether it's on the basketball court or whether it's at school, you become a partner with Jesus. And that, I want to tell you, my prayer life is changing as the Holy Spirit begins to move in my life. It's not about just asking him for things. It's about partnering with him about who I could touch. Those three things. I want to encourage you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I want to encourage you. Everything changes. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that I got baptized many, many years ago. In that little lake in northern Wisconsin. The lake full of leeches. But God, you made a difference in my life. And Lord, you made a difference in so many others' lives here today. But Lord, maybe there's one that's still checking you out from a distance. They're needing you, or maybe they're questioning, but maybe today is the day when they make a bold step and say, Jesus, I want my life to be changed. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to share about the cross, and to share about the journey to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. While your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, let me ask this question. Is there anybody here that you would say, I want to give my life to Jesus today? It's a clear question. It's not confusing. Maybe you've been checking things out, and you want to give your life to Jesus today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody here? Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you? Amen? Do you want to be partners with Jesus on this ministry? Do you want to operate on a day-to-day basis saying, God, who do you want me to minister to? Who do you've got for me today? What person am I going to make an impact on through the power of your Spirit? So my question today is this. The altar response. If you're here today and you want to be a partner with Jesus, I'm going to invite you to come forward and just dedicate your life. Say, God, I want to be a partner with you on this earthly ministry. I know it's easy to come to church and then leave, but I'm going to ask you to take a step forward. If you're willing to be a partner with Jesus, that every day, every week, you want to make an impact on somebody's life, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step and just come forward just for a few moments, and we're going to ask the Lord to empower us, to encourage us, to walk with Him.